Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. At some point, it goes from just talk to it's more than just a narrative. It's more than just lip service. When you hear a guy like Paul Kruger say, what did that make you think? Marlon Moore strolling by the building here today.
It's reverberating exactly what we thought it was, you know. And I think now we have not played a game.
Correct.
We have not won or lost a game yet. But I would imagine that if I were Jimmy Haslam and I were in tune to what's being said by those individuals that make up, you know, my football team, and what people are writing about my head football coach, I've got to give myself a pat on the back up to this point that I've got the right guy.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's one of those things, and you know, when something is all you have known, you don't know that you don't have what you need to have. Do you know what I mean? And for a guy like Paul Kruger, he's on a Super Bowl team, so he knew what he didn't have and what he needed. And to get it now, I think, is very obviously infuses him with energy, injects energy. Again, I'm not promising. I don't think anybody can come in and just through sheer force of energy and will and motivation and their ability to connect can make, you know, a team go to the Super Bowl. Now, maybe it is possible, but I think what he can do is make sure that through his motivation, through his coaching and his coaching staff, that the Browns will get the most out of everybody that they've got here in this building, and you'll see a better product. Well, that results in a massive jump in wins. I don't know, but you'll see a better product that's actually going towards a destination and as opposed to trying to avoid falling back to something
else.
Correct.
And I think what Paul was trying to say from a motivational standpoint is you would imagine that Hugh Jackson's giving you almost his best every day. There, you know, everyone has their off days. Hugh Jackson's going to give you 100% as your head coach. It's what he's been hired to do. That's why they're paid to do, you know, do that, is give you his all. If he can get, actually, the more people he can get giving their all more frequently by itself, that's non-X's and O's, non-skill, no matter how fast your 40 is. If I can get more people on board giving me all they got, that will increase your win total, as is. Then you get into the scheme of Ray Horton, the offense, you know, the formations and all the stuff that Hugh Jackson, we've seen, you know, him do both in Oakland and Cincinnati. Those nuances, and then getting players, as Paul said, playing in positions that everyone feels they can succeed in, that will add to your win total. And then I think something that has to be done for those individuals that have been a part of this organization for the past 5 years, they need to relearn what it is and what it means to win and win consistently. And that's closing people out, stepping on their throat, you know, no longer going, oh, we played good. You know, I've said this before. We played a good half against the Broncos and a good half against the Cardinals, but, you know, there's a reason why people leave First Energy Stadium at the end of those games.
I don't think Hugh Jackson will tolerate that kind of thought.
He won't. He won't. And as I said, the more people, those that don't match, you know, his 100% won't be here. And I think the only excuses that players will have is their inexperience or their own immaturity.
Yep.
Because I think Hugh Jackson's reaching down to find 53 individuals who want to match his level.
And that's what they're looking for. And that's why I think he can't possibly know through 2 days who those guys are.
No, and that's why even furthermore, you know, and I'll say the P word, the process is bigger than just 1 year.
Of course.
Because Hugh took over this job with X amount of guys under contract. Now, Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, and Hugh Jackson's insight went out and got 14 guys that fit the mold of being a Cleveland Brown. Some of them will stay. Some of them will go. Next year, there's going to be turnover. Some of those, that rookie class will now be sophomores, you know, in their class. Some of the vets here won't be here. And Hugh's going to have the opportunity to go draft another class and sign the guys that hit the market. And what I think ultimately, big picture, is Hugh Jackson, by word of mouth, because players talk, is creating an atmosphere via free agency that is going to make players want to come play here for him in Cleveland, which is something that has eluded us for a decade, other than collecting a paycheck.
I have a couple friends who are agents, and that is that they said the biggest thing for players who are not currently on this roster, Hugh Jackson is the best thing that could have happened to the Browns because players want to play for Hugh Jackson. He has that reputation around the National Football League as a guy that people want to play for and want to work with. And again, this is just, it's part of the shift, but you're actually seeing some type of a shift. You're not seeing theories. You're not seeing words. You're seeing
action.
Action on the football field
action.
About what needs to happen.
Yeah, and I think go ahead.
I was just saying, I can't wait for everybody to be at training camp.
Right.
Because I think as a Cleveland Browns fan, when you come to training camp this year, again, you will leave, in my opinion, feeling better about the state of this organization than you have in a long, long time.
And the one thing I was going to say is he is trying to have a hourly or daily for sure, if not hourly thought by the individuals that are playing for the Cleveland Browns about winning. Everything that you do, you know, eating, sleeping, breathing, winning, that's like number four, you know, in Hugh Jackson's mind. And that's what he puts off, and he's trying to ingrain that same mindset into the individuals that will eventually be the Cleveland Browns. And if it's not, that's another, you know, unchecked box for him. That if you're not passionate about succeeding and winning and success, that's not for me. I can't deal with guys like that because I'm not he's not breaking into your barrier.
Yep.
That 100%. If I'm given 100%, I want 53 guys that are going to do the same.
Absolutely. And, you know, for listening to Paul Kruger, another thing that struck me, this is a guy who's won a Super Bowl already. He signed a big money deal that he's come here for. He's due, you know, $8 million this year. And it would be easy to be at this stage, be like, it's a 3-13 team. There's a bunch of young guys. You know, I'm just going to go through the motions and I'm going to do what I can do and collect my paycheck. And he said, when you come to work here now, every day is a good day. Every day is a great day. I love coming here. It's fun. That says a lot. It can get to be a business very easily.
Absolutely.
In
and
the NFL.
And I've said that before. I was always of the mindset that these are my teammates and I play a sport for a living. It wasn't, those are my coworkers and I have to go to my job. There are places in the league because of their culture is off. Now you can win games that way because in some cases that coach creates that culture that, or the general manager puts enough talent on the football field that coached well, they go out and perform and you can win games. But when guys get exposed to, and this only happens a couple times in your career via free agency or that strong word of mouth that you talked that, you know, the agents are already speaking or players this deep into the offseason are talking about Hugh Jackson or a season under Hugh Jackson, that word gets out fast, you know, and you have an opportunity. You're reshaping, remolding this culture that you're just drawing in the people that are passionate about success and opportunity and proving it every day. And I think that's why if, you know, just to deviate off the topic to a different team is, I mean, look at Michael Bennett, you know, calling out Sam Bradford, you know, for asking for a trade because you're just not, we didn't use a Sharpie marker to say that you're going to be our starter, even though everyone in the organization has said you're our opening day starter. Just go out and do what you do. Do you not have enough faith that we gave you $40 million over the next 2 years to go out and just play quarterback at the level that you know how? That you're so threatened by Chase Daniel and drafting a guy? If you're that great, go beat him out.
Right.
Keep it. Go make another $100 million.
Sure.
They'll pay you if you do it.
And I do, again, I've thought this all along, but I know Ogba's here and I know he's going to need to get a lot of reps, but I hope that Kruger can fit into the plans because I think he is. You do need at some point, and I know that the coaches are the shepherds, but you need some guys, I think, on the field that have done it, that can do it to help these young guys in the trenches, so to speak. Don't you?
Yes, you do. And I think this is also part of the culture change here is the one thing that Hugh Jackson's got to do is he has to penetrate the veterans' minds to overcome the threat of young talent to the point where I can still perform at the level that I need to make this team. Almost that it's my job to lose mindset. That if I check all these boxes, I will be a Cleveland Brown. I will start as a Cleveland Brown, and I will produce in this defense or offense. At no point am I concerned about who you drafted, where you drafted him, him taking my reps, because if I do what I do, I'm in good standing. That's all you can concern yourself with. Because it's really, it goes back to, you know, a good analogy, but that, you know, that didn't hold a lot of merit was control the controllables. I can't control Hugh Jackson and Emmanuel Ogbah, but I can control what I do each and every day.
Right, and that's what you got to go out there and have fun. And another guy who was also singing the praises of the strength and conditioning staff here for the Browns. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we should have RG3 at the podium here in Berea. Nathan Zagura, Matt Will, L. Matt Fontana in for Jason Gibbs on CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. RG3 due at the podium soon, hopefully. That is the case, anyway. That's what we're being told. So we'll get to him when we've got him there. Matt, when you look at this team on the defensive side of the ball, the linebacking position always key in a 3-4. We saw DeMario Davis flash some more today. He's a guy that, you know, natural-born leader, seems to fit very nicely kind of in that mic, which they're calling the buck here, in the middle of that defense. Christian Kirksey, all eyes are going to be on him this year. I think this is a guy with an opportunity to step in and be a starter. What's he going to have to do to be that guy at that weak inside linebacker position?
Well, I think first and foremost, the reason why he was featured in certain packages in the last regime's defense were using his athleticism as a strength. You know, not so much as a rusher, not so much as a run stopper. And he was able to play in space, which I'm sure, you know, Ray Horton will, as we've heard from many individuals, feature him the way he's meant to be featured. But I think if he's going to become a starter, when we are in fact in base defense, that weak inside linebacker position is a playmaker. That's what he needs to do. That means DeMario Davis, for all intents and purposes, is going to be running in there like in those middle dog crosses, you know, running in there, you know, chewing up a blocker. Christian Kirksey is following through with an opportunity to win, make a play. That's, you know, tackle for a loss, tackle at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, getting a running back one-on-one in space in front of, you know, a yard in front of the quarterback. Can you make a play? Can you deliver? And that's what I want to see. And lastly, the scheme change will help. And I think, as we've been talking mentality via Hugh Jackson, but I think the mentality that Christian Kirksey has to have is to understand when to go around a block and when sometimes you have to engage and go through a guy. And I think based around his athleticism, it's like, oh, I can go around him and still make the play. You can get away with that for only so long, but once you're in the trenches, you can't go around people, you have to go through people. So I want to see, you know, the physicality aspect of Christian Kirksey's game emerge throughout these OTAs and, of course, training camp.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, with the way that the CBA is, that you aren't going to have that luxury, you know, to get tackling and to be hitting all the time. Another guy that obviously is going to have an opportunity, and we've seen him kind of all over the place, is Barkevious Mingo. And we'll see what he is able to do in this defense, take advantage of his, you know, athleticism and his ability to make a variety of plays, but he's got to do it consistently. And he's a guy who has put on some weight. I think it's noticeable, by the way, when you watch him run around out there, that he's bigger than he was a year ago.
It is noticable.
So hopefully he can do that and hold up.
You know, he uses it to an advantage because you can put on the weight, but if you don't play, if your mind's not right and it doesn't want to throw you in the fire and get physical, then all that weight and all that lifting does you no good.
Right. It's about functional physicality and the functional weight there. RG3, this was your first look at him with the rookies, with everybody around. What did you think about RG3 today?
I thought it was good. And I thought, you know, it was a blustery day out there. So, you know, some balls were short, some balls were long. That's, I'm sure, why some of the questions surrounding RG3's accuracy early in the Hugh Jackson press conference kind of came up. So I saw it too, but that's playing in Cleveland, everybody. And I thought he managed it well. And I thought RG3, when deliberate, knowing what he wants to do with the football,
very
is
good.
As good as anybody.
Yep. Yep, it's going to be a matter of knowing it.
Correct.
More often than not,
correct.
And being able to be quick with those decisions. Today, obviously, Cody Kessler wasn't there. Ricardo Lewis wasn't there. Corey Coleman wasn't there. They're at the Pepsi Rookie Spotlight out in L.A., and that's all the teams have to deal with this problem. So those three are out there. The other guy who wasn't there, Jordan Payton. And I think this is going to be tough for him. He's like Danny Shelton last year. He's graduating, finishing up his degree at UCLA. Will be in school until the middle of June. And how much does that hurt a guy like him? All right, well, we'll answer that question now that RG3 has gone to the podium. Here is Robert Griffin III.
Put it on silent for you guys.
First and foremost, how did you feel about practice today as far as some of the things that you were trying to accomplish and how some of the passes went, you know, as well?
Yeah. How you doing, Josina?
Good.
Good to see you. Great. Practice was good. I feel like communication is always key in any offense, but especially the way that we're running ours. You got to stay on top of that. And I thought, you know, from day one to day two, it was a great transition. Running a lot of different things, showing the defense a lot of different formations and plays. And I think all the guys are really picking up on that. I feel like today's practice was a good practice. You know, you go to coach after every practice and tell him I wasn't good enough, because that's what you're working for. If you ever get to the point where, hey, that was good enough, then you're not really trying to perfect your craft. So I think every guy feels that way. But I felt like we were doing a good job throughout the entire practice.
This is the first time that we've really talked to you since LeBron was drafted, Cody Kessler, and you know, Sashi said, you know, if I were drafting starting point, I would not sleep on Cody Kessler, and he was really talking about that there's a lot of competition like that. So, what was your reaction to them drafting Cody and
the competition? Yeah, I mean, all of us are going to have to earn our spot on this team and earn our spot on the depth chart. So when we drafted Cody, I actually knew a strength coach that was out there at USC with him for a little bit, and he said he's a great guy. And since he's been here, he's been awesome to work with, great young man, you know, God-fearing young man. So we always tell him, especially I tell him that, you know, if he needs any help, we'll be there for him. You know, we're not going to hoard our notes or hoard our special keys here and there, but we're going to try to help him be the best football player he can and then go out there and compete on the field.
Robert, you seemed upset with yourself after one throw. Have you thrown the ball well, do you think, or how's that going?
Oh, I'm working for perfection. So at this point in the process, completions aren't enough. I want to be perfect with the ball. That doesn't mean you shy away from acknowledging a guy making a great play for you, or, you know, getting a completion in a game. Those passes are okay, but right now in practice we're working for perfection, so then the game it can be perfect as well. So when you see me get upset, or you see a receiver get upset, you might have caught a 70-yard bomb, but, you know, maybe there's something in his route that he wanted to do better. There's something in my throw or my process that I wanted to hammer down and do better, so that's where that comes from.
At some point, a quarterback has to start taking ownership of this team. And although everyone's talking about competition, and we see that, but how do you incorporate taking ownership of the team when you're not named the starter?
I mean, like I said, everybody's got to earn everything that they get. And, you know, when you go out there and you perform at a high level and you show guys that they can trust you, that's when they'll buy in. So you don't really focus on putting together a plan to take over the team. Yeah, you put together a plan to go out and execute the offense, be there for guys when they need you to be there, and continue to grow and increase the camaraderie amongst your teammates.
We haven't talked to you for a few weeks. How much better do you know you and his offense now? What are some of the things about Hugh Jackson's offense that you feel fit you real well?
Well, I mean, you know, as a player, you want to be able to do everything. So there's not one area where you just say, this is what fits me best. That's why we practice. That's why we try to make our strengths stronger and our weaknesses our strengths. So I don't look at it that way. But every single day, things are changing. And, you know, coach is getting a better understanding of the personnel that we have. We're getting a better understanding of what he's asking us to do. So it's ever evolving, forever evolving. And we like the direction that it's going in. So it's just a lot of fun to go out there and play a kid's game for a King's Ransom.
How different are
or similar is Hugh's system and how he's trying to implement it, what you went through in Washington?
Yeah, I mean, it's just every coach has their own philosophy, and you have to learn how that coach wants you to play and how we're going to play football. What's our brand of football? And I think that's the process we're all going through. So it's a little different coach by coach, but I think the guys have bought in and are really showing Hugh the respect that not only he deserves, but that he shows up and works for every single day. That wasn't my phone, by the way. Yeah, I mean, I know everybody thinks I played with Corey. I didn't, but he did go to Baylor, and I happened to go to Baylor as well, so I kind of know what he's about. I had a chance to be around him. You know, he's a dynamic individual, and I think the guys in that locker room, the receivers in that receiver group, are going to help bring him along and teach him the ins and outs of what it means to be an NFL receiver. But he had a great day yesterday, and now he's at the rookie premiere. So I hope he has fun. Stay safe.
Knowing that limited route tree that they run there, and knowing now what he's going to have to run here, how would you size up the transition that he's facing, the challenge of the whole, you know, route tree and receiver and all that?
I appreciate the question, man. I think Coach Browse would be upset that you say it's a limited route tree, but I know what you mean. He caught a lot of goes. He caught a lot of slants. He caught a lot of hitches. And he's got those routes down. The NFL asks you to be able to do more. And it's not that you're going to run bench cuts and post corners and sluggo seams and all those consistently all the time. But you have to show that you can do it. And I think that's the beauty of the NFL. You get to step up to the next level and add to your game. So I think not just Corey, but the rest of the receivers and every receiver that we have, they want to continue to add to their game. And we have the coaches that teach them to do it the right way. And then as we continue to learn the technique and how they want it run, then we can become coaches as well.
Robert, you've been through you've headed into a season at this point being the starter, and then you've also gone into it where you've had to compete for the job. Do you get concerned in some ways that, I mean, you probably need as much support as you can, as soon as you can, with everybody getting on board and getting behind you and getting your timing down with the receivers? Do you get concerned that you're not going to be able to be the best that you can be if, you know, a quarterback competition can sometimes divide the team and it can be stressful and all those kind of things? What's your approach, what's your mindset to not having everybody kind of going in the
You know, I think the support comes from your teammates. It comes from your coaches every single day. There's an expectation when we step out there on the field that it doesn't matter who the guy is. If they name you the starter, you still got to go out there and work and beat out anybody that's coming for your spot. So the way, you know, I look at it is my spot, and I have to go out and defend that and go out there and grow with my teammates, growth within the offense, and just showcase my talent and ability, and coach will make the decisions accordingly to how he feels. But every single day you step out there on the field, you have to earn it. And I think this is the perfect situation for me to be in.
Does it drive you, does it motivate you even more to know that you have to go out there and defend it and win it?
It'd be no different, you know, if I was a starter, it'd be no different. So there's no external motivators. You know, you have a target in mind and you want to hit that target.
There's a story came out today that told an anecdote about you in Washington, that after your rookie season, you sort of called the head coach, the coordinator, and quarterback coach into a room and sort of had a list of grievances and demands about how you wanted things to go in this, your second year. Is there any part of that little tale you'd like to address or talk about?
Man, I'm so far removed from Washington now and focused on this opportunity here in Cleveland that I don't even worry about those things anymore. You know, I can only focus on what I can control, and that's here in Cleveland, being with the Dog Pound, being with my teammates every single day. So I just focus on those things, and I didn't even see that story.
Joe Hayden was in here a second ago talking about having watched Believe Land. I don't know if you watched that, but in talking to his friends on the Cavs about how big it would be if the Browns made it. Have you hung around this community long enough to get a sense for how big it would be if the Browns broke through?
I mean, I've had opportunity to watch that documentary, and just being able to talk to the guys in the locker room who've been here for a long time, you know, Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, you know, those guys have experienced a lot in their time, and they've been great players and great leaders, but they want to win. They want to have a winning team and go to the playoffs and go far in the playoffs and hoist that trophy. So, you know, that's part of the reason that Coach Jackson came here. That's the reason I came here. We feel like those guys deserve everything that we want to bring them, that they want. We feel like they deserve to be winners because they've worked for it. So that's a motivator for us. Every day we show up, we know we got Joe Thomas, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and Joe Hayden, who might very well be a Hall of Famer. And we want to make sure we help those guys win football games so that they can enjoy that. And not just for them, but for the city, for the community. We understand how long it's been since this city's experienced dramatic success. And it'd be big for the Cavs, you know, to win it this year. So we're rooting them on. But we also know we have business to take care of.
What specific goals do you have for yourself in terms of your passing game that you think you need to improve on based off of how you perform with your previous club and also some of the side work that you've been doing to, you know, further acclimate yourself for this opportunity?
You know, I haven't played in a year, so I really wasn't able to get a gauge on, you know, where my game had evolved from my first year and my last year in Washington to last year. So I just want to get back out there, have some fun, play ball, get completions, and win football games. At the end of the day, all of us are focused on winning. It's not stats. It's not this area, that area. It's about winning the game. So a lot goes into that, and I could spend all day up here talking about it, but I'm not. So I just focus on those things, focus on what I know I can get better at fundamentally, and just through the process and trust that process.
Also, to what degree do you feel like you've discerned that Hugh can actually help you in those areas as well, particularly when you look at his background and some of the quarterbacks that he has helped and how they've progressed? Yeah. I'm just curious how much you're picking up on that at this stage of the offseason program.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up on that before I got here, and that's one of the reasons that I came. So I'm a believer. I believe that Coach Jackson can help me be a better player, and I feel like he can help this team win football games, and he's going to put us in the best position possible to make that happen. And it's up to us to decide how great we can be. So I really do look forward to that, but I know he can help me. I know Pep can help me. Al Saunders can help the receivers, and all these guys are going to help us be a great football team.
Pretty good.
All right, guys. God bless. You can turn.
Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III at the podium today. Obviously excited to come here and work with Hugh Jackson. I like the fact that he's not going to get into what happened in Washington. It's over.
Why?
Who cares? He's here now, and he's a Cleveland Brown. So we can move on from that and see what he could do as a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And he hit on something, a theme that I've been talking about for a while, and that is this. I don't know if Robert Griffin III can play quarterback at a high level for a long period of time in the National Football League. Nobody knows really at this point. You
right.
know what I mean? But I do know, and I truly believe, he's going to do absolutely everything for maybe the first time in his career, because he came in, took the league kind of by storm, and then things fell apart in Washington, where he's in a situation where he's supported. He's going to be able to do everything he can from a preparation standpoint, from a practice standpoint, from everything that he can do to get the very best out of his talents. And he's got a coaching staff in Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton that is equally as committed to getting everything that they can out of him, so that at the end of this experiment, we will find out whether or not Robert Griffin III can play quarterback in the National
yes.
Football League.
And I wholeheartedly believe,
and I'd bet on him.
This isn't the first time that either you and I have kind of discussed this, is that any quarterback, that's Cody Kessler, Connor Shaw, Josh McCown, RG3, okay? They're all different ages, different skill sets. All of them will get better by spending time with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton. And if they want to be great, they will improve and get really good just spending time and being around those guys in this offense and what they coach.
Yeah, and it's going to be – this is one of the very interesting storylines. It's obviously about much, much more than a quarterback here. It's much more about the quality players that have been brought in to be Cleveland Browns and the overall roster and, of course, the culture change with Hugh Jackson, et cetera. But RG3 certainly going to be a big storyline. When we come back, we'll have Sir Andrew Gribble for a rare Wednesday with Gribbs here on CBD. Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined by Sir Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, your first day out there, and we'll go through the podium stuff in a sec, but your first day out there seeing the vets and the rookies all together, although we couldn't even see everybody together because of this rookie premiere. But what did you think out there for today?
I think the thing that kind of really stands out to everyone that goes out and watches these practices is just the energy level that you see at an OTA. I mean, it was just a highly competitive atmosphere, basically maximizing every second that they have out there. And I think that starts from the top down with what we see from Hugh Jackson on the field with these players. And then the guy that everyone notices right away is Al Saunders out there with these wide receivers. Every single play, everything they're doing is getting some sort of feedback on the field. And you're seeing progress, at least I am, from some of these wide receivers that we've maybe not talked about as much over the last few months or so. But you're seeing Terrell Pryor do more than just a couple things out there. You're seeing him really progress as a wide receiver because Al Saunders is just on top of him on every single thing he's doing out there and help making him better. So that's one of the more encouraging things to see out there. And I liked a little bit of what I saw from some of the defensive backs, and I think Joe Hayden highlighted him as well. But Ibrahim Campbell is someone that I think was making some plays out there as well. Every time I look over there, I keep thinking he's Johnson Bonamosi because he switched numbers with him. But no, he's making plays and really competing for that strong safety spot.
Of the rookies that partook in the last, or at least today's OTA practice, who's standing out the most in regards to just doing what they're supposed to do, or they're making plays on a consistent basis?
Well, you know, I've seen some ups and downs from Higgins, but I think that's what to be expected. It's weird because he's basically the only rookie wide receiver that was out there today because of Ricardo Lewis, Corey Coleman, and then Jordan Payton obviously not here as well right now. But a play that was made near the end, you see Joe Schobert making a play out there at that outside linebacker position. He looks very comfortable doing what he's doing, but it's the thing now, after watching the rookie minicamp, it just feels like, you know, this is a totally different feel with the veterans. And I think that's what stood out to me is I just saw a lot of energy that maybe wasn't there last year from some of these veterans. I feel like they feel like they've gotten reignited. They know they're competing for their job. I saw some good plays out there from Justin Gilbert as well today. So it was just a really nice vibe out there, and I think that's been reflected in those press conferences you guys aired over the last hour.
Yeah, we had Paul Kruger in here, and he said, "You, Jackson, make sure that every day you come to work is a great day. He's going to get the best out of you, and you're going to enjoy what you're doing." And I think that vibe certainly is palpable. What were your takeaways from Hugh's press conference today? He was a little unhappy that people were suggesting we should name the 53-man roster and all the starters 2 days into OTA.
I just think it's the key message is patience, and I think that was expressed this past weekend when he was getting asked a lot of questions about the quarterback situation. And then, you know, today at practice, you don't even have Cody Kessler out there to even compete against Robert Griffin III and Josh McCown. And I thought that was a key takeaway. I think that he's really optimistic about the guys that he has on board. I think he's comfortable with the fact that the 90 guys he has on this roster have really bought into what they're doing, and I think that's been reflective of what we've seen out there. And I just think some key roster spots that I think it was encouraging to hear what he had to say about Joe Hayden, and then hearing Yep. Joe Hayden after that. I think that, you know, he's a player that truly brings a different dynamic to your defense when he's healthy. So I think when you have Joe Hayden back in that defense, it changes absolutely everything you do. So I think that the sooner he gets back, the better. And I know that for a guy like Joe Hayden, training camp might not be the most important thing, but clearly after last year when he missed training camp, you saw that effect. And I think that to have him back soon without rushing him is pivotal for this team.
Gribbs, how much do you think that RG3 kind of is an unfinished product in a system, in Hugh Jackson's system, and Josh McCown at, you know, 36 plus years old is kind of a finished product? When it's all said and done in OTAs and the vet minicamp at the end of this is over, is there really going to be a competition to be the quarterback, or is it RG3's job to lose by not grasping this offense?
Yeah, I would think it's got to be his job to lose, because I think you just want to see development over these last few weeks. Because, again, this is a guy that didn't play football last year. I mean, he was with the Redskins, but he really wasn't doing much outside of the preseason. So I think you just want to see him get better, get comfortable within what Hugh wants to do. I thought an interesting question that Hugh got asked was, how complex is his offense compared to the rest of the league? And because he's only been running his offense, he really doesn't have an answer for that. So it's going to be a matter of how this offense is built to suit Robert Griffin III's strengths and how Robert Griffin III embraces what Hugh wants to do on offense. And I think that he looked fairly comfortable. I think there was some passes he'd obviously like to have back in those settings, but you see the talent that is there. And I think that you're not seeing him running all that much or being very frantic out there. So I think he's done all the right things up to this point. I just think you just want to keep seeing that line graph just progress in the right direction before you start throwing out titles and things like that.
Speaking of Joe Hayden, we didn't air that press conference. We'll have that tomorrow on CBD. But what was he saying, and what kind of, you know, was he? I saw the quote about Hugh Jackson is the best thing that's happened to the Browns since I've been here, which is a pretty strong quote from him. And the sentiment's been echoed by, quite frankly, everybody we've talked to. But what were kind of your key takeaways from Hayden's time at the podium?
I think for a guy who has every reason to be down about what's happened the last 9 months or so for him, he's about as upbeat as you could possibly imagine. I know he's an upbeat kind of guy. But, you know, there seemed to be some genuine excitement about what this team is building. And I know that, you know, outside projections for this team are not great, but it seems like there's an internal belief that this team was better than 3-13 last year. And now with what they've done, they're going to maximize what they can do on the field. And I think that the key takeaway he kept mentioning was egos and everything like that. I think he stressed over and over again, there's no egos on this defense. And I think that, you know, the secondary last year could have probably got caught up in its own hype going into last season, and it was just not good from start to finish. So I think now, instead of that kind of mentality going into the season with that secondary, you've got everyone kind of doubting what the secondary can do and a lot of unproven entities. I think he singled out Ibrahim Campbell for what he's done so far. And he also singled out Kaywan Williams, who he really is high on as one of the better nickel corners he believes in this entire league. So I think he called the group a sleeper. So we'll see what that you always want to enter with those kind of expectations rather than expectations that only set you up to fail. And I think that's key. And I think that he's really gotten caught up in the excitement that the Cavs have brought to the city. And I think that's made him pretty hungry with, you know, knowing and him seeing Believeland and knowing kind of the power the Browns could have in the city if they turn things around.
Sure. And again, I guess my question is, and you just talked about sleeper, if the narrative remains the same and people continue to think that the Browns are the bottom dweller of the NFL and they've got the least talented roster, while we know what's going on and the hedgeway that's being made each and every day out there on the practice field, could the Cleveland Browns, maybe at the outset of the football season, really become, you know, a sleeper and sneak up on some people and get some surprising victories and pick up some early momentum in the season?
Yeah, and I think in terms of it's just as much as the NFL is kind of a wins and losses business, I think there's different variations of that where you can see teams like, I think the team that everyone keeps throwing out there, a Jacksonville, even though they go 5-11, 6-10, you see that the right ingredients are in place and that the team is trending in the right direction. Whereas maybe you didn't see that with a team like the Browns last year or the 49ers last year. You just didn't have those building blocks that are in place in the future. You look at like the NBA, you look at like the Minnesota Timberwolves, even though they had one of the worst records in the league, you see that the pieces are in place, that things are going in the right direction. I think that's the thing that the Browns can show, whether it be through wins and losses. But obviously these guys, especially veterans like Hayden, Kruger, those guys want to win. And I think that's pivotal. But you can, as bad as it can feel on a Sunday after a loss, you want to get back on that Monday and have those genuinely encouraging moments, whereas last year there just simply wasn't much to take from a lot of the losses.
There certainly weren't. Now, one of the things that's been a big storyline this offseason was the running backs, the lack of one being drafted or added. Crow and Duke, I know, spoke today. What did they have to say?
I think that, you know, they would be lying, I think, if they said that they weren't happy. I mean, you obviously want your team to be better. But I think for those guys to not see a running back drafted and to not see one even signed as an undrafted free agent, I think that reaffirmed what they'd already been hearing behind the scenes from Hugh Jackson. I think that the fact that early on Hugh kept bringing up that 49ers game with Crowell, because I think he saw, I can probably get that out of that guy 13, 14 games out of the season rather than just one or two. And then you saw a guy like Duke Johnson who probably could have, you think he maybe could have run the ball a little bit more, was clearly used a lot in the passing game. And he's seeing a team that, while there's questions that remain at quarterback, a group that he can get a bunch of yards out of, a young group of running backs that where you don't need to go use your resources on that position this particular year, use them elsewhere, build up the rest of the team, see what you got in them this year, and then move forward from beyond there. So I think they both felt good about that. Duke kind of brushed it off because he went to Miami and he knows that, you know, they tried to recruit him out of his position every year, and you had to compete every year at the college level. But I think it's a little different in the NFL when dollars get involved. So I think he's happy, but I think they feel really comfortable in this offense going forward.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do. Sir Andrew Gribble, follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. And, of course, read all his great stuff at ClevelandBrowns.com and on the Browns mobile app. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on this hump day edition of CBD right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Matt, busy day today, man.
Yes, I like it.
Stipe was here. Kruger was here. We heard from Hugh. We heard from RG3. And then tomorrow on the show, we'll hear from Joe Hayden, as well as Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. So still a lot of stuff to go through.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I love about hearing from players and being out of practice is, A, for me, I get to put my eyes on something that we talk an awful lot about. And then, B, we get a reaffirmation from these players on what is actually going on in those meeting rooms, in their interactions with Hugh Jackson, in their positions room with the wait staff. So everything that you and I, yes, we're in the building, but we're not like out there for everything as some people might see. So it's fun for me to hear, again, the reaffirmation of what we believe to be true actually be true.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's good to see.
Because we read into a lot. Right. You know, and we're optimistic about where we're headed, but to have the players be saying and feeling the same way, it's a good thing.
Yeah, now it just needs to translate to football, and that's still a ways off, but we can go through the third OTA practice tomorrow, which is happening here in Berea, and they got three a week for the next 4 weeks, concluding with the mandatory mini camp. All right, tomorrow we'll hear from Joe Hayden, Isaiah Crowell, and Duke Johnson, and hopefully we'll have some other good stuff for you as well. Want to thank Stipe Miocic and congratulate the champ for being with us, and also we got to thank Paul Kruger for coming up and being with us today as well. For Matt Fontana and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.